Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice. Hello and welcome back to EB5 Investment Voice. It's been a few weeks, but we have a great episode lined up for you today. We have a couple of guests that's going to be sharing with you two different sides of the EB5 industry in China. But of course, before we get too far into it, I would like to introduce you to your host, Mona Shaw. Mona, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, Mark. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It's great to be on the microphones again.
Yes. Well, we have a slightly different type of show this time. Normally, you know, we've often talked about marketing and we've talked about conditions in China, but we've not really had anybody who from China themselves to actually speak about all of these issues.
Yeah. And today you actually have a Chinese agent and a Chinese investor that we can talk to today, right?
That's right. And it was very nice of them, very kind of them to come on our show. And we appreciate it very much. And we welcome you both. We welcome Jessica from Dalian, and Jack Gao from Dalian.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jessica. Hi, Jack. Welcome to the show.
So we'll start by asking Jack some questions first, and then we can move from Jack to Jessica, if that's good for you.
That sounds great. And just to be clear, Jack Gao, he's the Chinese agent, correct?
Well, I'll let him describe his own position. Jack, what do you do and where are you from?
Okay, my name is Jack, is my English name. And actually, we're based right now in Dalian City, northeast of China. And we are doing not only like agents, but I know there are lots of Chinese investors, they don't trust agent because, you know, sometimes they think it's not good to cooperate with agents. So we represent the law firm in China and also represent the project in China to give the Chinese investor a good understanding of EB5 and also ask the Chinese investor to come over here to take a look at the project and also meet the law firm and know more detail and the procedure of later application. So I think my job just like kind of representative office in China to promote a good project and also good service of Monasha law firm. So this is my main job in China right now. And we are going to have the office in Shanghai later. And I think at the end of the year, we're going to set up office there and to have more Chinese investors later. I think they need a service right now.
It's a little bit of a slightly different way of dealing with things, Mark. Normally, a lot of people, when they go out to China, they will go and they will get agents on board. We tend to do things a little differently, and we work with people like Jack who are able to go directly to the investor and bypass agents. It's just, as I said, a slightly different way of doing things.
Yeah.
So essentially, not all agents are the same. So when you say Chinese agent to one person, it may mean something. And that's why Jack clarified, you know, exactly what his role is, not just to say I'm a Chinese agent, but to really clarify, Mark, this is what I do.
So right.
Hopefully the person listening knows that too now.
Right. Because Jack, our show goes to many different countries and as well as a lot of people in the United States, and they do like to understand how things are in China. Would you like to just explain, first of all, what people understand by the role of agent? What isn't? Because agent in China is so different from other places in the world.
Yeah, I will explain that. And the agent in China is going to represent the project and to promote the project in China. And all the agents or bigger agents in China right now, they focus on the income. Okay, for the business, for the commercial side, I think it's okay. The company should earn money. But sometimes the Chinese agents network should take a look more details on the project. So there are lots of bad things happened before and also not very good reputation on agents to represent the project in China. So that's the reason and a lot of my clients complained to some agents and didn't do well and asked me to help them to find a good project. Also because it's kind of personal relationship with client first and based on trust. And later, I found out, I think a lot of Chinese investors really need kind of service like what I'm doing right now to help them to find a good project and also offering that a really good service after the immigration and also during the procedure of application of EB-5.
You have to understand, Mark, also that right now there's like 800 to 1,000 projects in China. Mm-hmm. So for an average person, it becomes mind-boggling and they get confused. So they really look to people like Jack who have a reputation and have a long-standing reputation and will not do something to jeopardize themselves and to go out and really seek and acquire not only the law firm, but the project and all the related things. So, you hear from the due diligence companies over here in the U.S., but this is kind of the due diligence on the flip side in China.
Okay. That makes more sense.
So, Jack, what people don't really understand in the United States and elsewhere as well is that there is a difference between the North and the South in China.
Yeah.
And there is a huge difference in the markets, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the market in the North of China, which would include Beijing, Shanghai, Dalian, and those type of cities, very different from the South.
Yeah, that's right. The difference, I think, the Northeast of China, like Beijing, maybe Beijing is a modern city and Shanghai even more better for the investment. And so some of Chinese clients got a lot of time to travel around and have been USA or Europe for a lot of time. So they know the environment for investment and they know the rules of European or American, how to invest money and what's the rules. But for the Northeast, it's different. Lots of people not got experience like South or Beijing cities. So, and also for two cities like Beijing and Shanghai, we can see that the majority are richest people in that two cities in China. So another thing like if the Chinese client want to do something like immigration or invest money later, but they came from Shanghai or Beijing. Also from the real estate side, you can see the most expensive property in China is right now because there's three cities, that's Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou. So depending on...
Guangzhou's in the south, right?
Yeah, also in the south. And depending on that, lots of rich people and potential Chinese clients came from the south. But from north, it's not the same environment, also not the same culture.
Jack, but is it not the case that some of these markets up in Beijing, for example, are saturated right now? There's just too many.
Yeah, because lots of agents and also they think the market is not good. And so the lots of problem, I think, for the Chinese investor also.
Right. And then there's another issue for people who are listening that there's not just the first tier cities, the ones you've just mentioned. They're second-tier cities.
Yeah.
Which are the popular second-tier cities?
Depending on, like, Dalian is a 6 million population. We call that second-tier. And for the first-tier, probably like a 30 million population.
Like Beijing.
Beijing,
Shanghai. There's other second-tier cities which are popular, like Chengdu.
Yeah, it's also popular, but not many Chinese clients really want to, because different culture, really. In China, the big country, same as in the USA, but the culture is totally different from North and South.
But if somebody was entering, if any of our developers are entering the market now, what advice would you give them? Where to go? How to start?
Okay, better place, you should go to the first tier and also second tier, because depending on what kind of a channel you work with. And if you go to the agent, I think it's the most difficult thing to choose right now, and because of reputation and I think other things are going to affect the project, because all the investors want to help the investment as soon as possible. So I think the best way to choose the channel, I think, is from some channel you can directly meet the client to show your project. I think it's the best thing to do right now.
Okay. So what is your opinion of the current situation? Because you said it's not a good climate right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean it's not a good climate in China?
I think the problem is, I think the trust is the basic problem. And second thing is got a lot of bad influence on news or other projects got problem and got sued by SEC. And I think this kind of news are going to affect a lot of potential investors. So this is the main problem. I think the first thing is the Chinese kind of doesn't trust anyone right now to rely on their information. So this is a big problem. If you have a good channel and someone going to introduce your project to the Chinese investor, they also got the first opinion, it's a critical opinion about the project and to think the project not good and to find the way to prove the project is good. So I think the trust is the first problem.
Mm. What about the visa situation? The fact that mainland China don't have enough visas right now, so there's retrogression?
I think the retrogression is a big hurt for the Chinese investor because a lot of Chinese investors heard that EB-5 is going to wait more than 3 years or 4 years, so probably think it's too long to take. And also think the risk during the 3 or 4 years, they can't get a green card and the money can't get back. So during the long term, anything can happen. This is a Chinese philosophy thinking way to think it's a project. So I think regression is also going to occur to Chinese investors.
Okay. And I was going to ask you also, Mark, do you have any questions relating to all this?
I do. Thank you so much. I certainly did want to interrupt because there was great stuff coming out. But I did want to ask, and really, Jack, if you could clarify, when you talk about, you know, choose a channel, and you mentioned, you know, the first tier and second tier. Now, you're talking about those first tier and second tier cities, right? Not the other types of EB-5 channels. Okay. Now, would choosing between those first tier, very large cities, and a second tier, which, you know, still 6 to 8 million people, that's a pretty large city here, you know, for the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I understand it's a second tier city in China. Would your channel be different if you chose, say, north versus south, or would it really be the same? Do you really just kind of pick a list of the first and tier second cities and approach both north and south China the same, or would you do it differently?
Okay, my opinion, like from my experience, I'm going to set up office in Shanghai, not even first in Beijing, because Shanghai is a financial city and there are lots of people know how to invest money. EB-5 is kind of an investment project. It's not only for immigration. So I think the people from Shanghai, they know how to invest the money. And the second thing is I'm going to choose the second tier city to be the base for the clients later to prepare the documents. And also, I think second tier city got very lower, I think, for the cost of labor and employment. And I think the first tier, I choose the different channel because, you know, the cost is the same, but the income of clients is different. So depending on the channel, I will choose direct to meet the clients, not through any kind of like agent or other channel to meet clients. It's a different thing.
Oh, I see. So other than, say, Shanghai, which they're, you know, very financially literate, and there's a lot of money there, and because of the competitiveness, it maybe makes sense to work with an agent. But in some of those second-tier cities, because the income isn't that of Shanghai, mm-hmm. you suggest working as direct with investors as possible. Yeah. Now, are there any challenges with that? Say, if you're working directly with an investor in a city that isn't like Shanghai, is there a lot of investor education that needs to come with that? Or is there a hurdle that needs to be overcome directly with the investors that you may not get with working with an agent, say, in Shanghai?
I think it's the same. If the agent can work out with the Chinese client, doesn't matter the Chinese client is educated or not, but I also can do the same thing. And also, I think I use a special channel like bank, because all the Chinese richest investors, they have to put their money in the bank, and the bank going to know how much money they got and how much money regarding the bank is going to be your potential client. And you use some special seminar, or like we ask Mona go to China to give more things, you know, to let Chinese investor know what's really going on right now. And you know, Chinese investors really want to know that the kind of things, directive and transparent information from America.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for that, Jack.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. So I think now we should move over to Jessica. Welcome, Jessica. Welcome to the United States. You only just got here, right?
Yeah.
You only just arrived.
Thank you.
And you started your trip in New York, or you've been to other cities?
This time just for New York.
Okay. And you're from Dalian.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, I have the coast, very beautiful.
Yeah. And great seafood.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're coming here to the United States and you're coming to see some projects, I know. Why the U.S.? Have you considered other markets like Australia or some of the European markets? Is there any particular reason why you really want to come to the United States?
I compare the European countries and America. I really get to went to European several times, Italy, French, Hungary, and Sweden. Compared with Americans, I think there are a big difference between those countries. America is an immigrant country, so I think Americans combine many things together.
Yeah, well, I happen to agree.
Combine many culture.
Right, mm-hmm. It does. It's a melting pot of cultures, without a doubt. And the other thing is, I think you would agree with me that the economy is, at this point especially, is much more stronger in the United States than it is in other countries. For European countries, often people would get sort of immigration into countries like Cyprus, just so they could go to the United Kingdom. And now with Brexit, they can't go in the United Kingdom anymore, or they won't, or they'll be hindered to, rather.
Mm-hmm. I really come to America, western part. I think this is American, like something can combine many cultures, different culture, different peoples. And also, my basic foreign language is English.
Okay. So when you were looking at EB-5, did it take you a long time to understand how EB-5 worked?
Yeah, I think the project is very important. So choose the project is a hard work, maybe.
It is hard, that's true. And what do you look for in finding somebody who's going to help you? Is there any particular type of agent or person that you would go to?
I check many informations on internet and know some laws about America. Also, some friends introduced me some projects, but some project I think is not reliable.
You know, we did talk, Mark, we did speak about a different type of marketing in other podcasts. So it's really interesting now. We can really see, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and we can ask an investor, do you rely more on print media or do you rely on social media when you're looking at a project?
Maybe social media.
On social media.
social media first, but I will check it. Check it, and right. Serve in the internet.
Okay, wow. And does it make a difference when you see a project being advertised in a magazine, perhaps? Does that make a difference to you?
Magazine, I think some magazine not trustful. For this time, actually, I know this project. I have do some surveys in a few years, maybe 2 years ago. There are real estate program. I think this is totally different.
Okay, so you're going into a non-real
first and first time. I trust you, Mona. I know you have career in this area for a long time. You have good reputation. Maybe this can rescue you from last century.
Thank you, Jessica. I really appreciate that. But this is all teamwork, actually. The teamwork is not, it's not me, it's the team we have here in the office, and then the people we work with, including people like Jack, because Jack himself has such a good reputation that he takes a long time before he chooses a project and moves forward on it. We just facilitate as much as we possibly can. But there's always a question I like to ask everybody, whether it's an investor, whether it's a developer. What would you like to see changed if you could? If you could go to Congress and ask them what to change for the whole EB-5 market, what would you like to see changed?
For EB-5, what would be changed? I think it's for family, not for one person. Yeah. You know that. Visa for one family, not for one person.
Okay, the visa quota. You'd like to see the visa quota changed.
Yeah.
Yes. Anything else?
I don't know.
Well, let me help you, Jessica. And first, I just want to say I am so glad to have you on. And I'm already, you know, grinning from ear to ear with the insight that you're sharing with us. And just to let you know who's listening, as Mona indicated, you know, there's people up on Capitol Hill that set policy. So, of course, they're listening to the show. And I'm glad that Mona's asked you that question. But we also, you've got Jack there in the room, and there's many people like Jack that listen to the show, but there's also project developers, there's regional center administrators. You have a lot of people that are listening to this. So to any one person, or not specific name, but like a group of people, like a developer, a congressperson, whomever, you know, a social media marketer like myself, whomever, you know, what would you, you know, really like to change? Because you've got the platform here that really no EB5 investors had before. And you can say, you know, this is what I want to see. This is what I don't want to see. I wish I could see this, but I can't. Yeah, the floor is yours.
I think the procedures should be simple, especially ask the investor the money. I mean, the investment source. The procedures should be simple.
Makes sense, simple and easy to understand.
Yeah,
right. Because right now the whole procedure is quite complicated. Mm-hmm. But that's regarding source of funds. What about the actual project or the way the government handled things? Is there anything you would like to see changed in that?
Adjudication time should be shorter, I think so.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would like that as well. Mm-hmm. The adjudication time right now is ridiculous, actually. Mm-hmm. It's far too long.
Yeah, I can imagine most investors are like Jessica. Why do they want to wait for, well, you know, really all the processes that, you know, take a long time? Some countries are very quick, but they're not as competitive as ours. We got a pretty competitive country, yet it takes so long. So I can understand that.
Right, right, right. Jack, do you have any comments here? Because I know you sort of light up, your eyes lit up with that question. I know you have a lot of things that you'd like to change.
We have a lot of people in the studio today. That's great.
Okay, because Chinese investors only care before they want to do the immigration EB-5 project. They always ask about how can we transfer the money to USA. So this kind of thing not in USA, but is in China. And second thing is, I think the Chinese investor will think, okay, how can we prove that money is legal and clean money, not laundry money? So those kind of things for the Chinese investor, because China during a long time, like 20 or 30 years, and during the developing time to right now, so Chinese use a lot of different policy for the some rich people to be the richest people in the China. And there's a lot of law or policy we can't explain right now. And a lot of people making money by cash. So how can we explain the people making money by cash? It's a very, very difficult thing. I think for later, if the USCIS need to see the income tax is going to be hurt all China, majority Chinese investor later. I think it's difficult to prove they can pay enough tax, and because there are 10 years ago they were like a 10 million RMB, but they can't prove they pay the tax. But these two things, they can make them money in China, because during the past 20 or 10 years it's really thin. So I think for the special Chinese investor, we should think about another way to sell to prove the money, and the money is okay, not laundry money. So we should think another way. So that's I think the Congress, if they want to, you know, really use the EB-5 to help the American economics, I think we can figure out what's the way we can see or we can prove that things. So that's what I'm concerned.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack. Jessica, I wanted to ask you, there is a lot of information out on the market in social media on Connor's show, EB5 Sir, and sites like that relating to SEC involvement, relating to companies which have been, projects which have been investigated by the SEC. Does that give you as an investor a confidence in the U.S. system, in the U.S. market, that a government body is actually coming down and trying to protect the investor by investigating a project?
Yes, that really made me confident for this project. Yeah,
that's good to know. It's good to hear.
If I choose the project, the first thing first, I will see if it is really in SEC.
She means that a lot of projects should be registered in SEC. It's not me impacting or impacted by SEC. It's different meaning.
Okay. So I think, Jessica, what Jessica's trying to say, Mark, is that some projects register with SEC with Form D filings and such, and that does give her confidence to know that project is out there on the radar. We try to insist that all the projects that we deal with are not only registered with SEC, but are compliant in every way. Mm. But I think that is definitely important. And I think moving forward, once the minimum amount does go up, and we're talking about larger and larger amounts, people will be more hesitant in putting money down for EB-5. And I think that investor confidence is very important.
Jessica, thank you so much for coming on. But I do want to ask you, before I let you go, let's fast forward and say that you do get your EB-5, you get your green card. What would you like to do here in the United States? Do you want to live here? Are there things that you would like to do or travel or really do here in the United States that having that EB-5 would enable you, that not having it would really preclude you from doing?
Maybe I think the most important thing for my choosing EB-5 is for my kids' education. I have two kids. That's my
kids'
main
education.
Purpose. Right.
It's completely understandable. That way they can go to U.S. schools, right? Easily.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, I would say 95%, Jack, you can correct me, 95% of people from China are coming here for education purposes.
Yeah. Yes, a lot of.
Many I've talked to as well. But now this is the first time that we've actually had to talk to somebody like Jessica here on the podcast. And, you know, really, I just wanted everyone else to hear that as well. So, again, Jessica and Jack, thank you so much for coming on today's show.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you for being with us today on EB-5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB-5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB-5 Investment Voice.